Good morning, Annyeonghaseyo. Warm welcome to you all. If you're here for the first time, it's good to see you, and we hope you'll stay for coffee so we can chat to you afterwards. The service is being live streamed, so warm welcome to those at home or elsewhere who are joining us. Worship continues here with the 11:30 interactive service and then the 5 p.m. reflective worship. Please make sure you have a good read of the notices that get sent out each week. If you don't get them, please let us know and we can make sure you do get them. And especially remind you to look at the attachments as well as the body of the text, because there's always something good in there. One of the things you'd find in an attachment is a link to the Lent notices sheet. There are copies at the back as well if you want them. It gives all the details of the events that are coming up during Lent, either just here or with other churches locally. Thinking of Ukraine, and I guess we've all been doing a lot of that, praying for them. We're encouraged to give money. They want money now, and the Disasters Emergency Committee are coordinating that. Details of the website are on the notices sheet, and we recommend you use that route. If, however, you don't want to go there or can't get there, there are some plates around the church that you can leave donations in. If you want to do something practical, and I know often there's a feeling, what can we do? The advice is to organise something like a coffee morning, charge people to come, and then give the cash to the Disasters Emergency Committee. Prayer, please note that for the next week or two, Anne McFarlane is leading the Monday and Wednesday prayer groups that Maddie would normally leave. Maddie, as you know, is recovering from surgery. This month's Nature Walk will happen next Sunday and not today as originally planned. Please speak to Sally about that. Thanks to all those who organised yesterday's celebration of the life of Nigel Tunley. It was a great event, lots of music that I'm sure Nigel would have loved, and dancing as well. So it was a great way to remember him. Tea and coffee on a Sunday, just a further plea, if you can help with that occasionally, please do speak to Hejung. It just means turning up and serving or helping wash up afterwards, nothing too onerous. Some help is needed in two areas. There's a monthly booking on a Saturday evening. It's mostly run by the group that organise it, but we do need someone from the church there, either during the whole session, or if not, just at the end to lock up. So if you can help in either of those ways occasionally, that would be good. Catherine is going back to South Africa to visit her family for a time in April. And during that time, Leslie needs a bit of help with some administrative tasks. So if you're willing to help out with that, please do speak to Leslie. Finally, news of people. Marianne Lazark is now out of hospital, but will continue to recover from her surgery for a while, of course. Ron Cook is in hospital, so we please remember him and Liz in your prayers. And also remember others known to us who are unwell or finding life difficult at the moment. Thank you.
People of the Ukraine are using this Psalm 31. I come to you, Lord, for protection. Do not let me be ashamed. Do as you have promised and rescue me. We join together to sing. Let all the world in every corner sing. Have a seat, have a seat. Let us join together to pray. Let us pray. God of the mountains and the sky, of our minds and our hearts, we look up to you in awe. We reach out to you in longing. We worship you. And for us as we gather, the big question of why and what is going on hangs in the air. But we join our worship with our brothers and sisters in Christ in the Ukraine and Russia on this day. You are God. We together are your people. And we know our lack and our limited knowledge of how it is and what is going on and why this is happening. And yet, as your people have done through history, we will worship you. Forgive us, Lord, when our vision is so small. Forgive us, Lord, when our fear and anxiety overwhelms us. Forgive us for the choices that we make that are so self-centered, indifferent to the needs of the poorest. Forgive us. And nourish our vision, Lord Jesus. The Lord says, I will change your smallness and meet it with my greatness. I will calm your confusion. I will forgive your mistakes and meet them with my generosity. Lord, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, so good people, just as Sally is setting herself up, particularly talking to you Zoomers, we're going to sing He's Got the Whole World in His Hands, and I need to know what, you looking for a mic? Do we know where the lollipop is? There it is. We'll need to know some verses, so I want some suggestions on the Zoom chat, as well as I'll be asking for you good people in the room. All right, we've got problems with the camera. Hooray, today's problem, right.
Good morning, everybody in the building. Good morning, everybody at home. You can't see me, you can hear me. I'm waving. Right, today's big question. Put your hand up if you like sweets. Two hands. Right, well, Kino, you come to the front for me. I've got a little sweetie challenge. And we need a grown-up as well. I'm not going to choose you, Bethany, because I often choose you. So put your hands up if you like sweets again. I'll pick someone else. Less people are putting their hands up now. Catherine says I should pick Kevin, so come on, Kevin. Now, I'm going to give you a minute, and you've got to get as many sweets from one bowl into another. So I'm just going to move that. With chopsticks. And the winner, it's whoever has got the most sweets in the bowl, in this bowl at the end, okay? Now, I'm going to tell you, if you want to, you can eat some of the sweets, okay? That is allowed. Okay, so don't start until I say when. Just get my watch, and your time starts now. Give them a bit of encouragement. Oh no, you're doing well, you're doing well. You're doing very well. You're doing well, you're doing well. Oh, he's doing the mentees. Kevin, you can do it with one hand. Go on. Oh, 5 seconds. 3, 2, 1, stop. Well done. So you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Well done. Well done. So I'm going to put them back in there. Do you want to eat that one? And your time starts now. Encouragement! Kevin. Oh, he's got the hang of this. Look at him. Oh. Oi. Oh. Oh, yeah. More energy to do it, yeah. Oh, can you empty all of them? This is too much excitement for... 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go! There's a lot. But he is disqualified. No, he's not, because I did say you could have a sweet. That's fine. Were you tempted to have a sweet? Yeah. Would you like a sweet? Yeah. Would you like another sweet? Why were you so tempted to have a sweet? They look yummy. Do you think they taste yummy as well? Yeah, nice chewy sweets. Oh, what made you not have a sweet? If you have a sweet, you'll waste time. Well done. That's a good answer. Today, we're talking about temptation. Even Jesus was tempted. Not with sweeties, probably, but with other things. We're going to find out whether he gave in to temptation or not. Would you like a sweet now? I didn't ask you. You can have one. You sure? If anyone would like a sweetie afterwards, you can, because I can't have them. So we're going to sing.
Sing.
Thank yes. you, Kevin. Thank you.
Right, we're going to sing. He's got the whole world in his hands, and I need some verses. Please. Yeah, I know that. I'm do not put these words up. Which words? He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got... If Marguerite Scott was here, that's exactly what she would say. He's got the little bitty baby. She always used to say that. Right, that's two verses. He's got the whole world. He's got little babies. What else you got? You and me, brother, which means we've got to have you and me, sister. Is that all? That's enough. Up you get. Here we go. Do not project the words. I'd like to apologise unreservedly to the Zoomers because I've just sung that without my mic on mute. I'm really sorry. It's very, very interesting. It happens all the time that the scripture that is just the set scripture going through the lectionary is bang on what is needed. This scripture that Nick Robinson is going to read to us is about the abuse of power. And that people who assert themselves, people who are unsure of themselves, assert themselves just to prove a point. Yeah, thank you.
Reading from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13, the temptation of Jesus. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be all yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time.
If we had written the gospel, it would say, "And Jesus went into the oasis where he found a sunbed, a cool drink, an easy novel, and they all lived happily ever after." If Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior of the world, and he faces temptation and trauma, why would his people expect anything else? We gather at the table to remember his shed blood. His body was broken. He died in solidarity with us, flawed human beings. Yet too easily, our religion is heavy on the ease and light on the challenge. John Swinton tells the story of going to church the day after the Sunday, on the Sunday after the 1998 Omar bombings, shocked and hurting at the death of 28 people and the injuring of 200 others. Yet nothing was said. He went to church and nothing was said. Not a prayer was offered. No lamentation was uttered. And as he reflected, he realized that his church
had no capacity, no capacity to deal with sadness or brokenness or questioning. The good news for us, sisters and brothers, is that we have read the Psalms. And we know that they are stuffed full of people lamenting. We believe that sin and suffering are not a sign that God is absent. Indeed, the scripture today makes a startling new point. Sometimes we need to intentionally put ourselves into a place of testing. Intentionally. The Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. It wasn't the devil, it was the Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness. It's not the devil drives him into the wilderness, the Spirit leads him there. The time of testing is for his good, otherwise the Spirit wouldn't have done it. When was the last time you deliberately did something that you knew would make you uncomfortable? Abstaining from the judgment of another. Abstaining from moving away from them when their story starts, gets to the place where it's painful to hear. Abstaining from certain foods, drinks, no fizzy drinks in Lent. Abstaining from sleep. Getting up early to pray. Abstaining from grumbling. Or some other destructive personal habit. Abstaining from hoarding of our monies and giving some away. Deliberately doing something that we know we will find uncomfortable because we know it is right and it will lead us to a new wholesome place, to form a new good habit, led by the Spirit to an uncomfortable place. The story tells us there are times when we are called to be tested, and that is right. And I have to say, for me, I know that if I was one of those people, if I had been one of those people in a Nazi concentration camp, and they'd offered me an extra crust of bread to betray somebody, I would have been munching that bread before they'd finished making the offer. I know that to be true. Shame on me. So why does this testing temptation happen? We read in Acts of the Spirit leading people into trials, uncertainties, and the wilderness. And the danger is that often in life, we think of our faith, it is about making our lives easier. In our societal view, I am the center of the universe, me. Life is about me, and it's about mine, and my faith is designed to make me more comfortable. But actually, it makes things harder. My sisters and brothers in Ukraine are being killed. My brothers and sisters are going into fuel poverty. My sisters and brothers around the world are still suffering from COVID. My sisters and brothers are living with the fear of disease and hunger. It would be great if we could ignore all that suffering, but that is not our calling. It makes life harder. It makes life better. How much easier for Jesus to find a lovely woman in Nazareth get married, have a couple of kids, and make that his life's work. Had he done it, had we kept our lives small, we wouldn't have known the depths of our faith. Jesus has come that we will have life in all its fullness. That means being serious about it, being serious about it, not content with superficialities. If we try to think of Christianity as the cherry on an easy social life, we will discover in time that actually we've got candy floss in our hands and it will melt to nothing. So during these testing times, to quote Jesus, chaff has been burnt away. Some people have found that their faith is baseless. Their relationships are superficial. And activities like their work are not worth their time. So these temptation stories say, you can do good things, but in such a way that you are against God's will. They say, you can abuse the power that you have, that you can focus on good works to the extent that you forget about God, stones to bread. We can come up with quick solutions that get the job done, like worshipping the devil in exchange for all the kingdoms of the earth. We can use our power through the Bible to flatten others. We know that ultimate power is God's, not ours. We always knew that. We always knew that in theory. But we pretended that the world was in our control and our lives were. But we follow someone who gave up his power to die a horrible death, to make it clear that God knows how it is. So let's not be surprised when life is tough. Let's remember this table at those times when that happens to us. And let's not be entranced by the outside. Let's claim for ourselves that we will be God's maturing people. So let us be still.
This scripture that Nick brought into this book is a Bible.
The bulk of our prayers of intercession today are been written by David Herbert, who is the Northern Synod moderator, and these prayers are part of what was used during the 24 hours of prayer that we've just been through. So let us pray. Eternal God, we are overshadowed once again by war. We lift up before you the innocents and the vulnerable.
victims of violence and cruelty. We lift before you all who continue to sow the seeds of hate. In the fog of war, where truth is the first victim, may your light, which cannot be overwhelmed, expose the truth. Grant to world leaders and all in positions of power today not only wisdom, but also the courage to do what is right in your sight. Grant to all who turn to you your strength and fortitude, your inner peace, along with a continuing faith in your sovereign power in the face of military might. Lord, hear our prayers for other burdens that are ours. People we know who are unwell. Those still in isolation because of COVID. Those who are fearful. Those who are burdened, those who are anxious about how they're going to pay their bills. Those whose marriages are coming to the end. Lord, hear our heartfelt plea. And Lord, for ourselves, strengthen us, Lord Jesus, to be your light. And all this we pray in the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Saviour. Amen. So with the whole instinct to want to do things for the people of Ukraine and Russia, I know that there are various people organizing different resort, you know, people collecting money and all that. But what we're hearing now is what they need is money. So give your money. If you want to give the church to facilitate that, then there's envelopes, there's plates there. But you know, give online, give money. And if you still want to do something, then organize a coffee morning, organize an event, and then give the money. That's what you want to do. But the money is what they want. Because if you give stuff, you're giving a wad of work to people. That's the danger of it. And you're giving the wrong stuff that arrives and people have got to organise it and all that. So the other thing to say is that once this is over, and it will be over, it went 14, 18, in 19 it was over, 39, 45, 46 it was over, it will be over. We're going to organise a church trip. We're going to go to Kyiv. Because the minute this is over, those people need our tourist money, and we're not going to do anything holy. We're going to drink beer, drink wine, drink Coke, you know, eat food in the restaurants, go and visit, you know, that's what we're going to do. We're just going to buy rubbish in their shops. Once this is finished and it's safe, that's what we're going to do. So, but you know, in the meantime, toilet roll has still got to be purchased. Ministers' stipends have got to be paid, you know, the thing. So, your offering for the work of God through this place, if you bring cash, we know that loads of you already do it online, but all of that will now be dedicated. So let us pray. We give our money through the bank. We give our money in cash now. We give our lives minute by minute, day by day. And we have nothing to offer that you have not first given to us. And we give you thanks for this bread and this wine that reminds us of all that you have given to us, Lord Jesus. Pour out your spirit on these gifts of time, of money, of bread, of wine, that all would be used for the work of the kingdom. Lord, we pray. Amen. So we joined together to sing, An Upper Room Did Our Lord Prepare.
And I hope those of you who are able to join us on Zoom have equipped yourselves with something like bread and something like wine. You know what? Exactly what doesn't matter. You know, when Jesus was having Holy Communion, he certainly was not using the best hovis. So whatever you've got in the house, it works. So at this table, we are aware of ourselves as part of the communion of the saints, of those who've gone before us, and of our brothers and sisters in Christ all around the world, in North Korea, in South Korea, in the Ukraine, in Russia. People will gather at the table, as we will gather at the table in the kingdom of God. Within this United Reformed Church, when the elders bring you the bread, would you, if you wish to eat with us, take a piece of bread and eat it? And if you have problems with wheat and gluten, then that's what this is. And then they will bring you the wine. And when you receive the wine, would you hold it? And then we will all drink together. And for those of us who have issues with alcohol, the good news is there is no alcohol in this wine, so that we may all drink. So let us pray. Living God, you fill us with longing for your presence, yet require us to live with the sense of your absence. Open our ears to hear the echo of your praise and tune our voices to sing with your voice the song of the angels. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of life and love, heaven and earth are full of your glory. All praise to your name. Come to us now, Lord God, as we remember Jesus, who on the night before he died took bread and wine, blessed them, and gave them to his friends, saying, "This is my body, this is my blood. Eat and drink to remember me." Lord God, you have drawn us together on the way to the cross and illumined our path by the insights of others. Come freshly to us, loving God, with your disturbing power. And as we receive this gift of the life of your Son, give us the courage to stay with the discomfort of your call and satisfy our longing to be in harmony with your will. Draw us to a deeper commitment to each other and to you, that we may live to your glory and sing to your praise all our days. Lord, we pray. Amen. And he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and said, "This is my body. It is broken for you." And the cup. "This is my blood. It is shed for you." These are the gifts of God for the people of God, and all people are welcome. Thanks be to God. Amen. the body of Christ. The blood of Christ. So let us pray. Strengthen for service, Lord, the hands that have touched holy things. Strengthen for service, Lord, the voices that have sung your songs. Strengthen for service your people. And at times of testing, may we remember this place, this time, and remember you, Lord Jesus. Amen. A final hymn, Lord of all hopefulness. And the other thing you can do, of course, you can pray, but very specifically, I discovered that the International Ukrainian Presbyterian Church gathers on the Sunday, in the olden days, on a Sunday to worship in English at 5 o'clock. So, to remember them and to remember those brothers and sisters in Christ, in Russia, in Ukraine, 5 o'clock. And now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God, and the blessing of God the Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit, be with us and those who we love, wherever they are. Amen.